Word of the Lord for our consideration this morning comes to us from Psalm 34, verses 9 through 15. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lion suffers want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears toward their cry. Dear fellow students of the Word, are we getting ripped off here? Right here it says, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I don't know about you, but there are a whole lot of things that I lack, that are things that I really want, but I don't have. It sure seems like I'm entitled to them according to this psalm. Now and then we might have a conversation with God that goes something like this. God, I've been pretty faithful. I go to church every Sunday. I go to chapel twice a week. I slip up now and then, but it's minor stuff. God, I wonder if you could send some good stuff my way. Nothing huge. I'm not asking for $1 million or anything like that, but it seems to me that I'm entitled to something. After all, you have to admit that you've been pretty hard on me lately. Maybe you could just ease up a little bit. Okay, God? We naturally expect that God should reward us when we do good, and sometimes that happens. Sometimes, though, it appears that just the opposite occurs. Yet it still says here that those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. So shouldn't God give us everything good? Well, I need to point out two things here. First of all, we don't seek the Lord as we should. And secondly, we don't often know a good thing when we see it. So first of all, what does it mean to seek the Lord? From our text, we learn that seeking the Lord is the equivalent of fearing the Lord. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, that's what David is telling us here in chapter 34. He sets out to explain this and he says, I will teach you to fear the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So how are you doing with that? If we're honest with ourselves, we know that we don't guard our tongue and we shoot out our lip just out of control. For instance, sometimes we avoid an uncomfortable situation by telling a lie. And if we're honest, we don't seek peace either. I mean, maybe sometimes, or as a general rule, we seek peace, but when we get to a situation where we're in danger, all of a sudden that just goes out the window, and we're going to do anything that we can to defend ourselves, even if it means that we hurt others. Martin Luther said, in this life there is no end to pursuing peace, since no one grasps it. In the final analysis, we do not turn from evil and do good. We sin much daily, each one of us. The fear of the Lord means realizing that we are sinners who don't deserve happiness and life in this world. The fear of the Lord means that seeing we don't deserve all of the goodness that God has to give us. God does reward this goodness, but we are not good. We do not fear the Lord as we should. We can't even fully grasp what it means that we deserve God's wrath unless Scripture reveals that to us. And so we keep going back to this false perspective that we are basically good and that God owes something to us. Well, He does owe us something. He owes us condemnation, rejection, destruction, because that's what our corrupt nature and our deeds deserve. And even when God does give us something good, undeserving as we might be, we don't often recognize it. Our perceptions are so messed up that we wouldn't know what a good thing is if God just placed it right in our laps. And it's not that we don't understand what the good gifts of God are. It's that we get so focused on something else. Maybe it's just this one other thing that you feel, if I had this one thing in my life, everything would be great. Without it, though, everything is terrible. And so we don't see all of the blessings that God has for us in our life. Our senses are so deadened by sin that we often want to please our selfish desires, our greed, our self-centeredness, even when we think that we're being unselfish and kind-hearted. But God is so gracious that even though we deserve nothing but His punishment, He gives us a steady stream of blessings, so rich and varied that we should be constantly reminded of His love and His grace for us. And sometimes we are reminded, but sometimes our sinful blindness makes us see only misery and pain where there's actually blessing. If we had perfect faith, we would always trust in the goodness of God despite our troubles. But too often we bitterly complain. Too often we ask God for more, 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 as if we're spoiled brats demanding all of the stuff that we think we deserve. But let us cast our eyes to the dust. Let us abandon any pretense of our own worthiness or merits. Let us repent of our evil. For the Lord shows His mercy. His mercy is this, that He does not look to your righteousness when He decides what you deserve. Instead, He looks to Christ. The hidden message in Psalm 34 is this, that Christ is the fulfillment of your righteousness. Christ kept His tongue from evil, even when His disciples were so annoying, when the Pharisees were so self-righteous. Christ controlled His lips and spoke only perfect words. Christ pursued peace at any cost. When he had the chance to end the warfare between God and humanity, Jesus did not count the cost to Himself, but He laid down His life for our sins. Christ accepted trouble for Himself when He could have avoided it. He accepted the pain and suffering that the Father placed on His shoulders. He took on the punishment that we deserve. On the cross, He suffered and was tormented with that torment that we should have received. He took away our pain, our rejection, our damnation. He took away your guilt. He has made you perfectly innocent in God's judgment. Psalm 34 is about Christ. He is the one who perfectly fears God. Christ alone is perfectly holy and good. He alone has not been corrupted by sin. He alone is trustworthy, the sure foundation on which your salvation is built. You can always be certain of Christ. You can always know that you are completely safe in the Savior's hands. Now every good gift is yours because of Christ. In this lifetime, the goodness of God is hidden beneath suffering and trouble, yet the goodness is there. In the next life, the goodness that Christ delivers will be visible and clear. Every illusion of sin will be taken away. You have this hope to cling to because of Christ, that in this veil of tears, this world that's so filled with trial and tribulation, it will be replaced one day with perfect bliss and eternal joy. May God continue to preserve your faith, to believe in the incredible grace that He gives, this grace that defies all human understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll close this morning by singing hymn 392. We'll sing all four verses of 392.